Backyard Bones Roar High, Canada. Good Friday to all. I hope some of you were listening last night. I broadcast from the Kirby Center of Hillsdale College in the heart of the Beltway, the lantern of the Northeast Coast, as we talked about their amazing charter school program for an hour and a half. We had 13,000 callers listening on the line. That was really amazing. Maybe 14,000. Thanks to all of you. And remember, hillsdale.edu. The Hillsdale Dialogue will be along in the third hour. Of course, we're talking Shakespeare today. And we have Doug Lemerese. We have our regular Friday lineup, and we lighten things up. But I want to hear from you about Jussie Smollett, the biggest headline in America. It's not anywhere near the most important headline, but he was found guilty of lying to police in a hate crime hoax. I read from CNN. Actor Jussie Smollett was found guilty Thursday on 5 of 6 felony counts of disorderly conduct for making a false report to Chicago police. A disorderly conduct charge is a Class 4 felony, punishable by up to 3 years in prison and a $25,000 fine. So Mr. Smollett is facing 15 years in prison. The discretion is with the judge. I'd like to know what you think he ought to get. 1-800-520-1234. I am of the mercy is not yet strained category, but you knew that. I think he should pay restitution to the city of Chicago for the costs. He should do a lot of community service. You know what I'd really like him to do? I'd really like him to work with Angel Tree. I wish this judge would say, here's the deal, pal. You're going to prison fellowship. And you're going to serve the people who are incarcerated where you could be. And you're going to use your celebrity to bring attention to this organization and to Angel Tree. Angel Tree sponsors the Christmas present drive, which is underway right now at HughHewitt.com. At the very top, go over there, HughHewitt.com. And Brandy Beig just gave us $50 from Florida. Thank you. That's two more children of prisoners served. Louisa R., $25. That's a prisoner served. Thank you, Louisa, in New York. William W. in Texas, $250. Thank you. That's 10 kids served. Scott J. in Tennessee, $100. That's 4 children served. And Dale S. in New Mexico, $250. That's 10 kids served. So I don't want revenge against Jussie Smollett. I want him to know that the carnage caused by crime is nothing to fake. It is so devastating on children. I don't think Jussie has children. I hope he doesn't, given what's been going on with him. But what do you want to see done? Let me play you a couple of clips of, if you want to contribute to Angel Tree, and I would love that, by the way. We have 1.5 million children who have a mother or father in jail, and we're doing great guns on this show. You folks are so generous. Thank you. Listen to Kristen talk a little bit about this, what it means inside the jails.
And just have people believe in them and for them to be able to be a kid and not suffer for the crime that their parents are in prison for. We actually feel like they're the silent victims of crime because they're labeled through Angel Tree. That's what we're doing is we're giving them the opportunity to be a kid and to look past their parents' label.
And that matters so much. But I think maybe Jussie serving Angel Tree would be fine. Here is the Dan Webb, the prosecutor of Jussie Smollett, after the trial. A number of different clips smashed together here. Cut number 16.
What he did to this city and what he did to the Chicago Police Department never had a chance to put it in front of a jury and let a jury decide.
Dan Webb, the former U.S. attorney, was assigned as special prosecutor in the case after Cook County prosecutors dropped initial charges against Jussie Smollett. Speaking after the verdict, Webb said Smollett wreaked havoc in the city for weeks on end for no reason whatsoever.
26 Chicago police officers spent 3,000 hours of time costing the city well over $100,000 for a fake crime that never occurred. And by the way, a fake crime that denigrates what a real hate crime is.
Webb said his law firm took on the case pro bono and that the jury's decision proved that the special prosecutor's office made the right choice.
If you're going to do this, then just do it for the public. I was asked for my firm to try to help restore the lack of confidence in the criminal justice system because what happened.
Webb is right, and he's done that. Thank you, Dan Webb. Nene Uche, Jussie Smollett's defense counsel, said this after the verdict, cut 17.
conviction.
Unfortunately, that's not the route we wanted, but sometimes that's the route that you have to take to win, especially a case where we remain 100% confident in our client's innocence.
Gloria.
And so I also want you to know, before I go to your calls, real crime is a problem. How much big of a problem? Jamie McBride is the head of the Los Angeles Police Protective League. On CBS Los Angeles last night, he said this, cut number 15.
My message to anybody considering coming to Los Angeles, especially during the holiday season, is don't.
A sobering and somewhat terrifying statement from the LA Police Protective League, the union representing LAPD officers. The message coming as a crime wave continues to slam the city and surrounding areas.
We can't guarantee your safety. It is really, really out of control. I said it to people before. It's like that movie Purge. You know, instead of 24 hours to commit your crime, these bad people have 365 days to commit whatever they want.
The warnings seem to resonate with residents.
It's pretty scary walking at night.
Sarah Veenstra moved to L.A. from Wisconsin about 6 months ago. She didn't realize crime and safety would be such major issues.
I genuinely thought it'd be a safe area. It turned out not to be as safe as I thought. I'm definitely like carrying something on me every single time I walk out of the house when it's dark out.
You know, for 10 years, I would do the nightly news on PBS, KCET in L.A., drive back and forth from Orange County, except for the riots, the 1992 riots. I never felt in danger. If you know where you are in L.A., it is not a place in the 90s where that random crime would happen. Wow. So, Jesse Solmoet, 30 seconds to each of you. Dan in Pittsburgh. What do you think, Dan?
Reimbursing the city, the full fine, 3 years in prison, and no job at MSNBC.
Well, look, we can't control whoever gets a job where, but you want 3 years,
well, I know,
really?
I'm just being sarcastic, yeah. But as a gay man in the gay life since I was 14, and I'm 68, okay, this is just completely unacceptable, and he should get at least 3 years in prison.
So you are a gay man, and so you're upset about faking a hate crime because real ones occur?
No, I do not believe real ones occur. It's very
interesting.
Far between.
Oh, very interesting. The special prosecutor said this denigrated real hate crimes.
Well, it may, but as far as I can see, okay, and I'm around your age, people are so afraid. And they walk on eggshells around black people and gays. It has swung in the opposite direction. Any hate crime.
I don't know that. I've never seen a hate crime either. I know they happen. I don't think. In fact, there's a great story I would send you over to. Beckett Adams at the Washington Examiner. Jesse Smollett is a part of a larger trend of fake hate crimes. We have a fake hate crime wave. But the real ones do occur, and I think the special prosecutor was right. When you fake them, the real ones get lost. Dan, thank you. Brian in Cleveland, Ohio, 1-800-520-1234. Jesse Smollett looking up to 15 years in jail. What do you think?
Hey, good morning. I don't think he should do all of it, but I agree with your last caller. He should probably do something, at least 2-3 years. Because, like you say in your own words, that which gets rewarded gets repeated, and we're doing this over and over and over. You had Joy Behr, Don Lemon, Rachel Maddow, everybody jump right on board with this, the white supremacy, the whole garbage nonsense of it, and enough is enough. Make an example out of them, and then people are going to start stopping.
But I'm so glad you called, Brian, because I want to say people are mostly mad, not at Jesse. They're mad at left-wingers who jumped to his defense. And we should not punish him because the media, legacy media, is overwhelmingly left-wing and indifferent to facts. You know, I don't think I've ever discussed this. Thank you for the call tonight. Generalissimo, have I ever discussed Jesse Smollett on the air? Generalissimo, are you awake? Somebody wake up Dwayne. Dwayne's talking to somebody on the phone, so I can't talk to him. Hey, Dwayne. Hey.
Yeah.
Have I ever talked about Jesse Smollett on the air, to your knowledge?
Not that I know of.
I don't think so, because I don't believe, my view is if unless you're in the courtroom, you actually don't know what's happening in a trial.
Unless you see it every day, every minute, you don't know what's going on until the verdict comes out.
So I just think most people are mad at Jesse because of Don Lemon and Joey Bear, and he shouldn't be sentenced because they're often morons. Don't go anywhere, America. I'm Hugh Hewitt. We'll be right back on The Hugh Hewitt Show. Hi, it's Hugh Hewitt. If you're buying gold, do it from Birch Gold. You can find Birch Gold at hughgold.com. I'm glad that they're sponsoring the podcast, but more importantly, I'm glad you're looking at making sure that your investment portfolio is diversified. Wealth is made in concentration and preserved in diversification, and you should diversify a part of your portfolio, 5 to 10% in gold. You can do that by rolling over a portion of your IRA or 401k into a gold and silver and other precious metals depository maintained by Birch Gold, or you can just buy gold and put it in your safety deposit box. Either way, do it from Birch Gold, which you can find at hughgold.com, or text my name, Hugh, to 474747. That's hughgold.com, or text my name, Hugh, to 474747. Now enjoy this podcast. We need Christmas. We need Christmas movies. We need to get to the theater. And we are joined by Sonny Bunch, the official movie critic of The Hugh Hewitt Show, rolling about in airline miles by the billions. He has been doing yeoman's work through the COVID with us. And do we have some good news? Is there a movie to see, Sonny Bunch? Can we go?
Well, if you like musicals, we've got West Side Story from Steven Spielberg hitting theaters this weekend.
Please tell me it's good.
It is. Look, here's the thing. I am not a musical guy. We've talked about this before. I'm not a musical guy. So I'm usually not the person to ask about a movie like this. I will say that it's a very catchy musical. Lots of good songs. This is the classic 1957 Stephen Sondheim. Who just recently passed away, a musical brought to the big screen by Steven Spielberg. And as such, look, it's a Steven Spielberg movie, which means that, A, it's going to be visually interesting. Again, not a musical guy, me, but I was pretty captivated by the opening the opening sequence, which is a very nice little bit of visual storytelling, even if it has kind of your standard singing and dancing silliness. It is what it is. And again, it's classic. Lots of great songs. Tonight.
Sharks and Jets. Yes.
Again,
Sharks and Jets.
I'm not the guy to talk to about this.
Yes, you are, because if you found good things to like about it, then people who like musicals and like being happy in theaters are going to love it. And I think of Nicole Kidman. Have you seen the AMC trailer 100 times yet, where Nicole Kidman says, "Because when the lights go off, it's wonderful in here"?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. So that's what this is. Yeah. More than once. Like every time you go to an AMC theater, twice. So what? Okay. I hear you. I'm going probably on Christmas.
Right,
what's
so,
next?
So look, here's what I will say again. If you like musicals, this is very much a big, old-fashioned Hollywood musical, right? This is a large production. It's a Steven Spielberg production. So again, it looks very, very good. It is filled with constant movement. It is a classic kind of semi-tragic American Romeo and Juliet story. Ansel Elgort plays Tony, who is of the young Irish gang, the Jets. He falls in love with Maria, who is the sister of the head of the Sharks, which is the local Puerto Rican gang in the projects of the west side of New York City.
Hell's Kitchen, isn't it?
They're two different groups rumble, and it's beautiful, and it's tragic, and it's wonderful, and it's sad, and it's lovely. I will say that I thought Maria, Rachel Zegler, who plays Maria in this film, is very, very good. I think she's the best. She's the best thing about it by far. She's just very expressive. Ansel Elgort, who plays Tony, is a little more of a blank. He is not as good of a singer, certainly. The role is kind of a stiff's role. He's playing a guy who's trying to go straight and wants to get out of the gang. He fears the violence he can inflict on people. But you know, look, the movie it's a very good musical if you're into that sort of thing. It's a little bit long. It is about 2.5 hours. Everything is a little bit long. Everything feels like it's about 2.5 hours now, including another movie.
Encanto felt like it was 6 hours, but go ahead.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you're not in the target age demographic for Encanto.
Oh, it might still be going on in my head, but what
five
else?
5 to 8. You know? Yeah. Also, 2.5 hours long is Don't Look Up, which is the new satire from Adam McKay. It is a global warming metaphor, a comet hurtling toward the Earth, and Jennifer Lawrence and Leonardo DiCaprio discover it, and they go to the president, who's played by Meryl Streep, and her son Jonah Hill is the chief of staff. They say no, we're not too interested in this comet headed toward Earth. We have a Supreme Court nomination we need to get confirmed. You know, we've got other things going on. So they go to the media. In this movie is a stand-in, essentially, for the New York Times and a morning talk show, you know, a network morning talk show. And the New York Times and the network morning talk show, not that interested in the end of the world because, if there's anything we know about the media, that they're not too interested in global warming stories, or in this case, again, the metaphor, the comet hurtling toward Earth.
There's a guy who hates me in Hollywood. What's his name? He's a funny guy. He hates me. Seth Rogen. Is he got anything to do with that? Because that's the only way you could make this less appealing to me.
No Seth Rogen in this. Okay. Here's the thing. It is occasionally very funny. There's a very funny running gag in this about a general, with the Pentagon, who charges the scientists for snacks from the White House break room that are free. And for the rest of the movie, Jennifer Lawrence can't figure out why this happened. You know, why he must make six figures. Why is he charging us?
I went with John Bolton to Turkey and Israel once, and the accounting that followed that was years in the undoing. That is actually a one star for me, because everyone who's traveled on the White House planes or the fleet will know what that means. That's very funny. Someone slipped him a tip.
Yeah. So there's some funny stuff in it. And I do like Jonah Hill. I'm not going to lie. He's very good in this. It's the funniest he's been in a film since, I think, Wolf of Wall Street.
Sonny, question for you.
Yeah.
When Jonah played a disturbed young man who lived at home, it's a haunting movie. He was very, very good. Do you recall the name of it? Like Cyrus, something like that? He was on the spectrum. Yeah, and Melissa Tomei was in it, and he's a very good actor. He's a very good actor.
I like Jonah Hill. I'm trying to think of what movie this is where he is. Was it Maniac? No, that was the Netflix show.
We'll look it up. But I got to ask you if you've watched Wheel of Time yet, because I binge-watched 3 episodes yesterday, and I don't know if they have the budget to... It's going to be like Rome. They're going to run out of money.
Yeah, well, you know, it's funny. I've heard that from people. I've not watched it. I've heard that it looks kind of cheap.
They're just trying to compress 22 books or 21 books, and they're moving too fast. But they're going to run out of money because they're like at one half of one book, and they're into 4 episodes. It's okay. It's pretty good for that budget. It doesn't look cheap. It looks like they're compressing too much too fast.
Yeah, no, I haven't read the books, and I've not seen.
Oh, you're never going to read the books. You don't have enough years left in your life.
I do not. I don't have that sort of time. You know, time is a luxury when you've got 2 kids and a full-time job, and the idea of working my way through. I tried to read. It's funny. I sat down to reread the Foundation books because I wanted to watch the Foundation series that's on Apple. And then as I was reading it, I found out that the TV show has really nothing to do with the books. It's more about prequels and the actual Empire. And so I never finished reading them, even though they're very short and pretty quick. Pretty easy.
Well, Wheel of Time, Ross Douthat, Crystal Liz, and I all fell prey to it at one time in our lives, so we're interested in it. And it's fine if you've read the books. Don't do it if you haven't. Anything else, Sonny? We got 2 minutes left. I want to make sure you get through your menu.
If you're living in New York and L.A., there's a new indie film out called Red Rocket, which is it's from Sean Baker, who's the guy who made Tangerine and the Florida Project. I don't know if you saw the Florida Project. No.
Oh, I love the Florida Project. Defoe. I love that movie.
It was a very, very, very touching, very kind of...
Yes, he should have won the best
kind of
actor.
Hard to watch yes. movie about a...
And it makes you aware of all those children that you now drive past living in hotels. It does its job. It was a great movie.
And I think that's on Netflix now if you want to see that. But Red Rocket is that director's latest. And it is about a heterosexual male adult film actor who moves back to his small town in Texas because he's kind of flamed out in Los Angeles. I mean, he's just a con man. He's a charismatic.
Oh,
con
I'll go
man.
Say this.
He's worming his way into people's hearts.
But you've just triggered me, Sonny, because one of the best scenes I've ever seen in a movie. See if you recall this. Willem Dafoe is watching over the kids. He's doing his repair job. And the dirty old man scuffles up to the children. Do you remember that scene?
Yeah, yeah.
Nothing is said. Nothing is said.
Routes them out of there. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, gosh, it was a great movie.
Great movie. It is a great movie. And look, what Sean Baker does as a director is he looks at these communities that are kind of hidden and kind of lost from the normal public eye, and he does it again here. I mean, nobody's making movies about small town Texas and the oil refinery towns and the people who live there. I mean, it's a very, very interesting movie. It's set in 2016, so the 2016 election is kind of a backdrop. It's not really part, but it's not the movie. This is not
who's the
this
star.
Is not, th- who's this the is who? Not like the star is Simon Rex, who was a one time MTV VJ, who is just, he is excellent in this movie. He is a real revelation. I was not expecting him to be as good as he is, but he's super charismatic, super interesting on screen. I recommend this film a lot. It's definitely, look, it's a hard R movie. There's nudity in it. I don't want anyone to show up and be surprised when there's
failure to warn. But Sonny, is it in either Across the Movie Aisle or The Bulwark Goes to the Movies?
We may talk about it on Across the Movie Aisle. I haven't talked about it on Bulwark Goes to Hollywood, but I've got reviews up at the site now. Don't Look Up and Red Rocket, which make kind of an interesting pair.
Well, I'll read them after. I'm going to see Red Rocket, but it's not in DC.
I don't think it's in D.C. yet. I think it's still just in New York and L.A. for this weekend, and then it's going to expand next weekend. So,
do you know Alamo Draft House has come to D.C.?
I saw that. They had a big opening ceremony with Bill Pullman from Independence Day.
They did not call me. It's unbelievable. I do more for the movies than anybody in broadcast, and they did not call me. You do more. Did you get to go to Alamo?
I got the invite, but since I'm in Dallas now, I wasn't able to make it, unfortunately.
Just not fair. It's not fair. Yeah,
it really is.
The injustices of the season. Sonny Bunch, thank you. Talk to you next week at Sonny Bunch on Twitter. Go and read his reviews after you've seen the movies. Do like I do. You only want to see it, read a review of a movie after you've seen it. But Red Rocket, yes. Don't Look Up, no. West Side Story, yes. That's the summary. Summary time for ReliefFactor.com is that I'll need it for this weekend because I got to get out there and shuffle around. It's just unpleasant with a broken toe, a broken big toe. It's just not what it was, but I got to do it. So look, here they are, the four pills I take every morning. That's stone cold coffee, but they went down. And why do I do this every morning? Because nature has anti-inflammatory. If you're watching The Wheel of Time, you will know that the wisdom is able to find magically anything that cures everything somewhere in the forest. Well, nature does have anti-inflammatories, and the Relief Factor scientists went and got them and put them together and made the easiest to swallow pills, the easiest to open package. And for $19.95, you can try it for 3 weeks, and you should.
We're here tonight, and that's enough.
Joined now by the poet laureate of the Hugh Hewitt Show, Tarzana Joe. Hello, Joe.
Hello, you and Merry. What month is this?
Yes, indeed. Merry December.
Have 12 months really passed, my friends? Another year gone by? Will Santa and his reindeer soon be sailing through the sky? It seems the kids a week ago for Easter eggs were hunting, and then that I, in hot July, was hanging out the bunting. I know that summers are too short and fall is always fleeting, but wasn't it just yesterday we all went trick-or-treating? Another year has come and gone and left us in the lurch. It's smelling more and more like pine at Target and at church. I made a list of things to do in 2021, and most of them, I must confess, I haven't yet begun. I still haven't cards I need to send to friends I made this past year. That should make up for all the cards I didn't send out last year. Huh. There's lots of poems I need to write. My client said please do them. Well, everyone can rest assured I'll soon be getting to them. I still have gifts I need to wrap and gifts I need to buy. To tell you I was ready, friends, would be to tell a lie. So can't we take a moment now and pray by all that's holy that day by day the next 2 weeks will pass a bit more slowly. That's Christmas Chill by Tarzana Joe.
Not a chance, Joe. Not a chance.
Now's the perfect time, though, to remind listeners struggling with last-minute gifts that It Only Hurts When I Rhyme and The Second Best of Tarzana Joe are perfect stocking stuffers and available on Amazon.com.
Oh, let's go back over those titles, Joe. You ran through them. You're plugging your two books of verse.
Yes, yes. And next week I may give the speech I would have given had those books won the Pulitzer Prize for Poetry. But they are called It Only Hurts When I Rhyme and The Second Best of Tarzana Joe.
Just how do they search? What do they Google? What do they search for on Amazon?
Just Tarzana Joe, and there they are.
Tarzana Joe and Amazon. Google works its magic. Joe, are you done taking commissions for the year? Or are you still working around the clock like Santa's elves?
I never say no. And last week, and I keep saying this to you, it's been the biggest week of the year. Last week was the biggest week of the year. Lots of last-minute gift givers, you know.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I hope you don't run out of rhyme. That would be a terrible time.
That's true. But I will never do that.
To contact Joe, go to TarzanaJoe@Reagan.com, send him an email, or go visit TarzanaJoe.com and all of his verse there, including this week's. I'll talk to you next week, Joe, and it will be here before you know it.
Merry Christmas, you.
And to you, sir. I want to remind you that our sponsor is AndrewandTodd.com. There with Sierra Pacific, they lend you money to refinance your house or buy a home or help your son or daughter become investors in real estate by becoming a non-occupying co-borrower. They help senior citizens with reverse mortgage. They help veterans with no money down mortgages. They help you refinance. So if you need to get money out of your house or you need a whole new house, go to AndrewandTodd.com or call them at 888-888-1172. Welcome back, America. It's Hugh Hewitt. I am so happy to introduce you to Bethany Mandel. She is one of the big influencers of young moms in America. You ought to be following her on Twitter. Good morning, Bethany. Welcome to the Hugh Hewitt Show.
I am so excited to talk to you here. Thank you so much for having me on.
Well, you know, my best friend in the media about your age is Mary Catherine. My daughter is your age, and we just learned that my grandchildren, the Scholar, the Artful Dodger, and Genghis Kate, are going to have a player to be named later, number four, coming along in the spring. So these young moms with rollicking children bundles make me happy. You make me happy on Twitter, Bethany.
I love it. I saw the news about your latest grandchild, I think yesterday, because we're internet friendly, and I was so excited. Excited that she's going for another one.
Well, it's chaos. You know, the Fetching Mrs. Hewitt and I are going to flee for the coast. We're going to get out of here because next spring is. But that's what, when Deseret News profiled you, and I just tweeted it out, you and Seth, your husband, you embrace the chaos. You just love the joy. And I think that is just so necessary in this world.
Yeah, amen. There's always room for one more. Seth's grandfather always used to say, you know, the only thing you'll regret about having kids is that you didn't go for one more. And I'm a strong believer in that. There's beauty in the chaos. There's beauty in the children.
Now, Bethany, you are also, as is my daughter, rather matter-of-fact and somewhat militant about how the schools have screwed up our grandchildren's and your children's lives and learning. Are they getting it right? Are they getting back to true north?
No, absolutely not. I mean, I think that we're seeing schools going in the opposite direction. I think that this is the sort of the problem with the conversation is it's not just about CRT. There's so much wrong, but they're cutting days out of the schedule. They're sort of abdicating their responsibility, and in so doing, like they're not teaching kids all of the values that they should be and that we all hold dear and that used to be part of maturing into a responsible adult.
Bethany, did you see the Wall Street Journal headline today? Schools confront a wave of student misbehavior driven by months of remote learning. Districts respond with more counseling, increased patrol, and fewer suspensions. I think they ought to respond by firing teachers who don't show up and by going 5.5 days a week. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, that's absolutely it. I mean, kids are acting out because they don't have normalcy and they don't have role models to show them, like, this is the proper way to behave. This is, and we've abdicated our responsibility to them. So no wonder they're misbehaving because they're following our example. They're following us not acting as morally upstanding people who understand that our most sacred sort of responsibility is to them and to their education. And instead, the school districts and teachers unions and all the rest are saying, this is really hard, and so we're going to bail, and we're going to step back and start taking Fridays remote.
Yeah, children are the reason schools exist. They are not headcounts for per capita incomes from the state. They are the reason the schools exist, and that's what you have represented, Bethany. Now, it's a first-time interview, so I'm obliged to ask two questions. Have you read The Looming Tower?
No.
Oh,
I
Bethany!
It's going to be a quiz.
Oh, I always ask the first-time guest. Second one, was Alger Hiss a communist spy?
Yes.
Okay, good. You got one out of two. Now let's go back to kids. Did you expect to become this voice of moms everywhere?
No, I didn't. At the beginning of the lockdowns in April of 2020, I started tweeting things like very sort of a little bit quietly at first, like, I don't think we've had a conversation about the impact on kids and how fair this is to kids and what this is doing to kids. And, you know, back in April of 2020, you weren't allowed to say those things. And everyone was supposed to sort of happily be locked in their homes indefinitely. And I was really heartened by the fact that a lot of those tweets went viral in the beginning. And I was hoping that would then equate to sort of public policy that put kids first and looked at the whole public health picture, not just, you know, virus mitigation, but also, you know, mental health, substance abuse, child abuse, physical abuse, domestic abuse. And that didn't happen. We have tunnel vision in public health, and it's one and only thing, virus.
All right. Let me talk about heroesofliberty.com, but very quickly, my singular talent is book naming. When you write your book, it should be Moms Decide, subtitle, everything, including who wins elections. But tell us about Heroes of Liberty.
So we just started a fantastic new literary startup. It sort of goes right off of the conversation we're having about schools. Our schools are not teaching morals. They're not holding up examples of people that our kids should be following. And so we decided, you know, we're going to form a literary startup and do this ourselves. And we're profiling people in biographies that we want our children to know about and we want our children to emulate. And so we're selling a 3-book bundle, the first 3 books that are extremely beautifully illustrated and really great storytelling. The first 3 books are about Ronald Reagan, Thomas Sowell, and Amy.
And Amy Coney Barrett! Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah. I got them. It's terrific. ACB, heroesofliberty.com. Go and get these 3 great books, heroesofliberty.com. But Bethany, sit down and write Moms Decide. Subtitle everything, including whether or not you win your election, because moms do decide. That's what I always say. Ask mom. And so, Bethany Mandel, thank you. Heroesofliberty.com, America. I'll be right back. Hour number 3, the Hillsdale Dialogue, straight ahead on the Geeky Witch Show.